All right, Shavuot Sai, good morning, good morning. Let us begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's share, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan. Steve and Terry Zinn, in loving memory of Steve's father, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim. Leah Sol, as the Zchus Rafur Shlimah for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and the Zchus Rafur Shlimah for all of those wounded in Eretz Yisrael. Yonasan and Rachel Wolf for a complete and lasting Refuah Shalema for Fall Yitzchak Baruch Ben Esther, Jerry and Sarah Walaski and the Schus Refuah Shalema for Zechariah Dov Ben Perel Shira, Azriel and Iris Miller and the Schus of the Holy Soldiers of the IDF, and the merit of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Our week of learning sponsors, Robert Emas, in honor of the Yartzeit of his mother, Rus Bas Sara, and an appreciation for the entire Daf Yomi Shir, and an anonymous sponsor in honor of Yoni Frager's birthday. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. We also say in the schuss of our learning, all of the Neshem Shav and Aliyah, the families in Nechama, those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael should be safe and secure. Our soldiers should be successful. And Yoni should have a happy birthday. Hashem. All right, so I'll say with that, let us begin. A lot to do today, really like a very packed day and a packed Gemara, beautiful Gemara. So we are beginning, today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71, and we are picking up 21 lines up from the bottom on 70b. But they're short lines. No, they're not. But okay, Machra is Rabbi Yehuda Bum Dis. So remember again, we left off at the end of the story of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, who had gone ahead and dealt with a particular man who turned out to be an Eved. Then the people of Nardo were ready to go ahead and attack him. And pretty much what he said is, guys, here's the deal. Be quiet, and I won't tell you what I have on the families of Nardo, and we'll just keep it like that. Or start up with me, and you'll find that you are genealogically disqualified. So the Gemara goes to this. Gemara says, Machlus Rabbi Yehuda ben Pompadisa. Rabbi Yehuda made the following announcement in Pompadisa. Ada v'Yonasan Avdi, the families of Avda and Yonasan. So Rasha has the discussion, are these individuals or are these families? So Avda and Yonasan, they're Avadim. Yehuda bar Papa Mamzera. Yehuda bar Papa is a Mamzer. Tavi, Bati bar Tovia b'ramos rucha v'shachal gita d'cherusa. This guy, Bati bar Tovia, because he was arrogant. Now, interesting enough, he was an Eved Kenani, but he was arrogant, and therefore he refused to accept a get shechur. Okay, Machriz Rabbi Mechuzah. So Rabbi made the following announcements in Mechuzah. Beloi, Danoi, Taloi, Maloi, Zanoi, Kulam, Lifsol, Zagoi. Sorry, all of these families are puzzle. And I will say, you're going to see why the Gemara is including this in just a little bit. All of these families are genealogically blemished. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Govai Givoni. The Govai family, they're Givonim. Darnunisa, Darai, Nisinoi. So the Darnunisa family, they're actually Nisimim. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Hi, Beikuvi de Pompadisa. This city of Beikuvi and Pompadisa, Kulam da Avdi. They're all Avadim. I'm Rabbi Yudam Shmuel. Arba Meos Avadim. Arias Avadim. Armile Arbas. Alafim Hayulo the Pashkor Ben Amar. So this is what Rabbi Yudam said. Name is Shmuel. 400 Avadim. Others say 4,000 Avadim were owned by this guy Pashkor Ben Amar. The Kulam Nitmu Bekahuna. And I will say, this individual, Pashkor ben Imar, because he was very powerful and very wealthy, his avodim were able to marry into prominent families, including Kohanim. And I will say, now listen to this. So how do you know the Kohanic families that were infiltrated by avodim? How do you know that? Listen to this. V'chol koin sheyesh bo azos panim, eino ela mehem. Any Kohen who is especially brazen and filled with chutzpah, probably is a member of one of those families. Amr Abaye, v'kulan yasem b'shur debar narda, and all of them live in a row in narda. U'pligid Rabbi Lazar, and I will say this idea argues Rabbi Lazar. Why? Rabbi Lazar, in ra'isa koin ba'azos mesach, if you see a koin who is very brazen and arrogant, al tahar her acharov, do not think that he is genealogically blemished. Ne'emar, v'amich kimerive koin. We'll say the pasuk over here, v'amcha, sorry, kimerive, the pasuk in Hosea says, the Navi compares Klal Yisrael, your nation is like a quarrelsome koin. So we'll say, we've seen this before, Kohanim have a certain quarrelsome nature to them, right? A certain hot-headed nature. Now, understand what that is, right? The Gemara Masech is getting, but say, remember again, Chazal had to institute a totally different get for Kohani. Remember again, the get Mekusher, the folded get, like the accordion that needed signatures on each fold. Who was that made for? That was made for Kohanim. Kohanim would lose their cool, say to their wife, we're getting divorced, right? Over nothing. To kind of like pump the brakes on the process a little bit, they made this prolonged get process for the Kohanim. So I will say, it's interesting, anger and even sometimes arrogance, right? Brazenness, azos meitzach. I will say, often these could be misappropriations of the trait of passion. Right, Kohanim are known for their passion from the beginning, right? From the time, ultimately, again, that Shevet Levi stood up when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mi LaHashem Elai," in the aftermath of the building of the golden calf, they demonstrated a passionate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you have, right, mischanneled passion, what does that result in? It results in anger. It can result in a shtickle arrogance and a little bit of brazenness. So therefore, there's a shaila, if you see a coin acting in this way, does that represent a genealogical flaw? Or maybe, no, it's just like, that's Kohanim for you. In other words, that there's just a little bit of a misappropriation of this powerful trait, which in general is a very preferred. The Rebbe says that in reality, what happens in life is this koach. And the only shaila is which way you choose to direct that koach. There's energy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And everyone gets the same energy. The question just is how you choose to channel that energy. It's incredible. I'm Rabbi Avin, I'm Rabbi Avin. Call an Osei Isha Sheinu Genaslo. What says, going back to what we saw yesterday, anyone who marries a woman who's not fit for him, right? The woman who's not genealogically fit for him, Kishak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashe Shechinaso, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina, may Akol HaShvatim on the tribes, Eino Meit Alov. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't rest his Shechina on this particular individual, Shine Emar, Shifte Ko Eidos Li Yisrael. A Masai Have Eidos Li Yisrael. Ultimately, again, when is a Jew part, so to speak, of a testimony of Kal Yisrael? Bizman Shashvatim Shifte Ko. In other words, only when you have a union that's part of Shifte Ko, that's part of the Shvatim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of it, and when do you have a union that's part of the Shvatim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only when you married an appropriate woman. I'm Rabbi Chanina. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina, he only rests it on genealogically fit families in Klal Yisrael. Shnei Emar, Ba'isa Hinu Om Hashem, Eya Elokim L'chol Mishpachos Yisrael. In that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be a God for all the families of Israel. L'chol Yisrael, O Ne'emar, Ela L'chol Mishpachos Yihyu Lila. This is very interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, I'll rest my Shechina on all of Klal Yisrael. Rather, what does he say? I'll rest my Shechina on the Mishpachos of Klal Yisrael. What does he mean, the Mishpachos? What does it mean, ultimately, again, the families? Right? The families ultimately means those who have intact genealogical families. Ultimately, again, will have the Shechina rest. I will say, again, I just want to point out, you could look at these Gemaras, you could say, oh, it's the Gemara being elitist. It's not elitist. The intact family unit is the core necessity for the continuity of Klal Yisrael. If there's no, we'll say, you see this, right? Right now, this is not an argument within Eretz Yisrael, because Baruch Hashem, everyone is, the only positive piece of war is that there's an incredible achdus. But one of the major issues that comes up in Eretz Yisrael from time to time are the issues of Geirus. Who controls conversion? Who controls conversion? Now, often the way the different sides are represented, it doesn't do much to allow for mutual understanding. But just understand, when you see the chief rabbinate wanting to maintain a quote-unquote monopoly on conversion, so we'll say, that's not a power play. It's not, I mean, for some it might be a power play, but it's not a power play. Right? Who controls conversion and who controls genealogy, I will say, this is what controls the future of Klal Yisrael. If there is a corruption in the genealogy, if there's a corruption in conversions, let's say everything falls apart. So when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that the Shechina rests upon genealogically pure families, that's not an elitist statement. It's an existential statement. Klal Yisrael can only continue to exist if there is genealogical purity within the ranks. Otherwise, we just simply dissipate. We just disappear like every other nation that doesn't maintain a sense of genealogical intactness. That must become to an incredible, incredible Gemara. Amar Rav Barafuna, Zumayla Yisrael Yesh Ben Yisrael Legerim. This is the Maila that we'll call Jews from birth may have over converts. The Ilu Bi Yisrael Ksiv Behu, Vayisi Lohem Lelokim. Like Klal Yisrael says, I will be to them a God. Vehema Yuliam, and they will be to me a nation. Vilu Begirim Ksiv, Mihu Ze Arev Esli Bo Lagesha Selai, Nu'um Hashem, Vayisi Vayisem Li La'am, Vanuchi Eyelochem Lelokim. So Rabbi says, this is interesting. The Gemara points out over here that when it comes to what we'll call Jews from birth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu frames it as, I'll be a God to you, and you'll be a nation to me. As if to say, the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us is unconditional. In other words, you don't have to pledge yourself to me in order for me to pledge myself to you. I'm yours. By Gerim, by converts, the Pasuk says, if you pledge yourself to me, then ultimately, again, I'll pledge myself to you. It seems to be conditional. So the Gemara wants to put this as a maila, as a level that, let's say, the Jew from birth has over the Ger. It's interesting, I will say, the Rishonim bring out on this Gemara that it's not true. It's not a maila. In other words, it's a simple reality, right? It's a simple reality. The Jew from birth, who didn't make the choice, I'm Jewish from birth, so I'm entered into this relationship. So because I'm entered into this relationship, because Baruch Hu says, I'm yours, right? In other words, I don't have to pledge myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was pledged. I was born into this. So because I was born into this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you're already in it, therefore I belong to you. The Ger, in order for the Ger to become a Ger, what does he have to do? Right? What does she have to do? They have to make the most overwhelming and incredible commitment in the entire universe, which is a willingness to enter into Klal Yisrael. So therefore, again, the Rishonim bring down, that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Ger has to first say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm yours. Just procedurally, that's the way it works. I'm yours. And then once the Ger makes that overwhelming commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the reciprocal commitment, ultimately again, to the Ger. So the Rishonim point out, Lav Dafka, that, right, it's not related to the Gemara saying that the Jew from birth has a higher level than the Ger. It's a different dynamic. The Jew from birth is already pledged. Therefore, there is no need for him to pledge himself. He's already pledged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I pledge myself to you. The Ger, to enter, has to make that pledge to God. But once he makes that pledge to God, he is privileged to receive the reciprocal pledge from God. You gave yourself to me, I'll give myself to you. And I once were on the topic of Gerim, of converts, the Gemara, both a wild Gemara over here. Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Kashim Gerim Li Yisrael Kisapachas. Listen to this Gemara. Gerim, converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as a sapachas. Now, we'll say, what's a sapachas? Sapachas is saraas. Leprosy, well, we translated it as leprosy, but saraas, shenemar. Now, we'll say, what does this mean? Shenemar, v'nilva hager aleim, v'nismuchu al beis Yaakov. So, we'll say, the pasuk says literally, the ger will accompany you. The nispichu abeis Yaakov literally means they will attach themselves or they will accompany beis Yaakov. So the Gemara says, "Ksiv hacha, the nispichu ksiv hasam laseis v'laseis v'lasapachas." So I will say, so the Torah uses, so the psukim use the same notion of sapachas, the nispichu and sapachas. Sapachas is saras. So I'll say, so what does that mean? Right, the gerim are difficult for Klal Yisrael kisapachas. So Rabbi say this is a dramatic machlokis Rashi and Tosis. So Rashi says over here, kashim gerim she'inim zihirim b'mitzvos. Sometimes the ger is not careful with mitzvos. Varigilim etzlam nimshachim etzlam v'lom nimasem. Rabbi say, unfortunately, one of the most difficult things when it comes to gerus is ultimately doing it the correct way. And therefore, again, the unfortunate reality is many people do convert. And again, they either convert without purity of intent, or not for the right reasons, or within a mechanism that doesn't know how to really bring them within the fold of Judaism. And as such, their Judaic commitment is often fundamentally lacking. And because it's lacking, they're Jewish in name, but often not in practice. So according to Rashi, that's the dynamic that the Gemara is highlighting over here. So that's what it means, Kashim Gerim Li Yisrael. Sometimes the Ger comes in, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to do it, and unfortunately could become a liability for Klal Yisrael. Tosfos says something amazing. Tosfos gives four different answers, which we're not going to get into now. I just want to share with you two of them. One of them, Tosfos says, "Tekashen gerim liyisrael kisapachas." I'm going to quote you from Tosfos. "Lefi shehisya kadosh baruch hu aleihem bechof dalid makomos shelo lahonos osam v'efsher shelo yitzarim." Rabbi, listen to this. Tosfos says, "Do you know why gerim are difficult for Klal Yisrael? Because there is a heightened sensitivity that every Jew has to have towards the convert." And Tosfos says, "We almost never live up to the expectation of the way we are supposed to treat the ger." Now, as we all say, it's hard enough to go ahead and live up to v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. For the ger, in addition to v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, there's also an additional mitzvah v'ahavta mes ager. 24 places in the Torah, the Torah highlights the need to treat the ger with additional level of sensitivity. Tosa says the unfortunate reality is, we don't. So that's what it means. Kashem gerim liyisrael, Tosa says, means that, so to speak, it's a liability because we have this heightened sensitivity and it's so difficult to live up to that. The other possibility, Tosa says, this actually appears in Amud Aleph. Tosa says, Varab Avram ger, listen to this. Tosa's quotes Rabbi Avram ger, all right? Shpirish lefisha gerim bikiyim emitzis umedaktikin bahem kashem him liyisrael kisapachas. Rabbi Avram Ger says, no, I'll tell you the pshat. You know what it means that Kashem Yisrael Kisafachas? It means Gerim are so much better than those of us who are born into this, that they become, so to speak, a liability or an indictment for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Which I will say, so, and by the way, Naisim B'chol Yom, we see this, sometimes you see again the passion that the ger brings to his Yiddishkeit, the commitment that he brings to his Yiddishkeit, this love us. And it's like, I don't know, I'm tired. You know, like they're doing this and it's all except. And again, it's an indictment for Klal Yisrael. So I just want to point out, Tosfos brings a number of other reasons as well. But again, just to highlight there for three reasons. According to Rashi, Rashi understands, no, it's actually talking about the compromised state of the ger, that often the ger is not medaktik in mitzvahs. He's not careful with mitzvahs. As a result, other people learn from his behaviors and he brings down others. I will tell you, as having seen this in situations where people are not brought through the conversion process in the right way. They're either not ready for it, they go through a basin or a mechanism that doesn't really know what they're doing, and the conversion absolutely becomes a liability for them, and for all those around them. There's no kasherah. Rashi's always right. But right, Mamish, you could see this. That's Rashi. Tosis, either possibility is kasher gerim liyisrael, they're difficult for us because we, the community of born Jews, so to speak, have a heightened sense of sensitivity and responsibility to the ger. We don't live up to that, and as such, it becomes a liability for us. Our third possibility, Rabbi Avram Ager, who says that at the end of the day, no, gerim are excellent. And often they're so good in their Yiddishkeit that it becomes an indictment for the rest of us. Incredible. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. Says Rabbi Chama Bar Lechanina. Kishakadosh Baruch Hu. Bosei Tapa Vayin Aleph. Kishakadosh Baruch Hu mitaher shvatim shifto shalevi mitaher tchila. This is beautiful. Now let's say, in the future, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to mitaher shvatim. Now Bosei, we're going to see, this is part of an interesting discussion. Up until now, we've been focused on this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only rests his Shechina on families which are genealogically pure, right? And then you had all of these other, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, all these other people outing, so to speak, these genealogically impure families. So I will say, we're going to see that one of the things that Eliyahu Navi potentially is going to do when he comes, when Mashiach comes, is straighten out genealogical lines. Now, specifically, the Shevet that needs to really be straightened out is Levi, right? Because remember, Shevet Levi is Leviim and Kohanim. And that's two things. That's identify people who think they are Leviim and Kohanim, but are not. But also, there's a whole other swath of the Jewish population, which is, who don't know they are Leviim and Kohanim, but are. So the Gemara says the first tribe that is going to be genealogically straightened out in times of Mashiach and Shevet Levi, So the Gemara says, "Mitar shatol shalevi, mitar tchilo." Shnei Amar, v'yashav Mitzrayim from mitar kesef, v'tir es bnei Levi, v'zikek osam kizav v'kesef, v'ayu la'ashem agishe mincha bitzdaka. Okay, Amar b'shav ben Levi, kesef mitar mamzerim. That's an interesting statement over here. Rabbi Levi says, you know, money has the ability to purify mamzerim. Now, how does that work? See, some things don't change. Money can fix a lot of problems, right? Apparently, including mamzerus. I will say, take a look at Rashi. Kesef metar mamzerim, hamituam biyistra machmas mamonam, v'hu goreim v'ayim sheitaru shela asid lavo, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mavdil mishar shenivdiko ba mishpachos shel harbe. Let's listen to this. People who have money have influence. People who have influence could accomplish a lot of things, including having their families marry into other families, even though there are genealogical impurities. So money gets people to overlook other things. Now the interesting part is we're going to see the concept that here's the tension. Do we look for genealogical impurities, or do we just let it lie? Let it lie. So that's going to be the tension. So on Amud Beis, we saw a lot of examples of outing genealogical issues. Here, Rabbi Sadiq Mar is going to pick up a motif of, if you don't know there's a problem, don't make a problem. What about generations ago? Sometimes Rabbi Sadiq, we just let things be. Now, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, perhaps, again, clearly when it comes to Shevet Levi, and Rabbi Sadiq, it makes sense, you have to do it, Bashi. You have to straighten out Shevet Levi. Why do you have to straighten out Shevet Levi? Why?
Avoda.
In other words, you can't have non-Kohanim and non-Levim practicing in the basement. So Shevet Levi absolutely has to be straightened out. The rest of us, okay, we'll see. We'll see what has to happen. So it says, Sigmar goes right to this. So Kesef, Sigmar says, Shnei Amar, V'yashav Mitzarif U'metar Kesef, Ma'i Magishe Mincha B'Tzdaka. What does it mean they bring the Mincha B'Tzdaka? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Tzedaka Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzedaka Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishal. We'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the great act of Tzedaka with us. What's the great act of Tzedaka? Shemishpecha Shenitma'a Nitma. Now we'll say, this becomes the operative phrase over here. This is Nitma'a, not with an aleph of impure, but nitma'a again with an ayin, which means what? To become absorbed or hidden. See, Rabbi Sadiq, this is going to become the dominant light over here in this Gemara, which is that halacha l'maisa, mishpacha shnitma'a nitma'a means, Rabbi Sadiq, we don't run to look to discover genealogical impurities, right? But rather, again, we assume if it looks okay, it is okay. Rabbi Sadiq, now I just want to be clear. This comes up all the time in marriages. You can't bury your head in the sand, right? If you have a family and you know, for example, there were conversions, or you have a family and you know there were divorces, right? So those things absolutely require significant investigation, right? Because remember, again, then you could really have an issue of either by divorces, you could have an issue of mamzerus, chas v'shalom, or again, by conversions, you could have an issue of Jewish legitimacy or not. So those things are, especially in the context of marriage, those things are of absolute importance to investigate. But stam, I will say again, stam. So a person says, okay, no conversions in the family, or, you know, no divorces in the family. Okay. Again, we don't have to look for a genealogical person. Well, say, see, you see this tension, right? Clearly, again, you see like Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel and Rava and others, again, are outing. They feel there is a need to absolutely proactively maintain genealogical purity. Here, the Gemara seems to take the approach, Halacha L'maisa, if you don't know there's a problem, don't make a problem. Incredible. So, Gufar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kalaratzos Isa Le'aretz Yisrael. Both say, all lands are considered to be like dough, compared to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Isa LaBavel. And Eretz Yisrael is considered to be dough for Bavel. Now, both say, now what does this mean? This example of all the lands are considered to be like dough. Both say, dough is made up of, Rashi brings down over here, is made up of multiple ingredients, a mixture. So when we say that the lands are like dough, it means that the other lands have mixtures of people who are genealogically fit and those who are not genealogically fit, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, which has a higher level of genealogical purity. But Eretz Yisrael is considered to be like dough when compared to Bavel, meaning Bavel has the highest level of genealogical purity. I'm both saying, now we know why is that? Why is that? Ezra. Because remember, Ezra separated out everyone who had genealogical issues, and brought them with him to Eretz Yisrael. So whereas Eretz Yisrael is considered to be genealogically superior to the rest of the lands, Bavel is superior to Eretz Yisrael. I will say it hurts to say those words. Nothing is superior to Eretz Yisrael, right? But okay, but at least in this one inyan, in this one inyan, Bavel may have superiority. So we made Rebbe. So let's listen to this. In the days of Rebbe, Bikshu Lasos Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. In the days of Rebbe, they wanted to switch the status quo, and they wanted to say that actually Eretz Yisrael was superior to Bavel. Amar Lahem, Rebbe said, Kotzim Atem Asim Li Be'enai. You're putting thorns in my eyes. So you know what? I'll leave Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama on this. Let's say first wide line. Nitpal iman Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama got involved. Over the hem. Kach mikublanim in the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Shnei Rabbi Shum Aviv. Kal aratzos isa liaretz Yisrael. Veretz Yisrael isa bebavel. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama says, don't mess the status quo. The status quo we have is, whereas Eretz Yisrael is genealogically superior to all the other lands, Bavel is superior to Eretz Yisrael. Bimei Rabbi Pinchas, Bikshu Lasos Bavel Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Once again, it was the days of Rabbi Pinchas. Once they say, see this push, you see this push, because there was a certain point in time where again you had greater rabbinic presence in Eretz Yisrael, so they wanted to switch the status quo. They wanted to say Eretz Yisrael is the most genealogically superior over Bavel. So the days of Rabbi Pinchas wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to make Bavel genealogically inferior to Eretz Yisrael. Amr Lahem, La'avodav. So let's listen to this. So Rabbi Pinchas, so they came to Rabbi Pinchas. It's Rabbi Pinchas, it's time to switch the status quo. Eretz Yisrael is going to be genealogically superior to Bavel. Okay, so let's listen to this. Amr La'avodav. So Rabbi Pinchas said to his servants, Kishani Omesh gave Devarim Beis HaMedrash. Listen, I'm going to go to give Shir in the Beis HaMedrash. After I say two things, Taluni Barisa, literally, again, put me in the bed, right? Put me on the stretcher, right? Verotsu, and get me out of the base medrash. Get out of the base medrash, right? So I was like, Ki, I said, Ki, in other words, he was about to say something. Ki Ayo. So when he comes into the base medrash, right? I was like, he comes into the base medrash, what does he say? Number one, he said, number one, Amr Lahem, Ein Shechita L'Of Minat Torah. First thing he said to them was, there is no biblical obligation of Shechita for a bird. Now, both say this happens. Rashi points out over here. This is a machlokes in Maseches Chulin. Does a bird require shechita or not? Now, both say that he began with. Now we don't pass this way. A bird requires shechita, right? But ultimately, he began with the statement why? Because this was something that people weren't familiar with, and he knew, as they say, we create a hack, right? We create a conversation in the Beis Medrash. Everyone would get busy with the conversation, and then as they were busy with that, he said. And then he said, "The adiyasi the kamaaini." As everyone was busy with that first halacha, Amar lehu kalaratzos isal yaretz Yisrael, yaretz Yisrael isal abavel. And then I will say he once again affirmed all the lands are do yaretz Yisrael, but yaretz Yisrael is inferior to Bavel when it comes to genealogy. And I will say, remember again, there was a push to switch that. Right after he said that, natlu barisa, his servants put him on the stretcher. Veratzu, they ran him out. Ratzu acharav, everyone from the base medrash began to run after him. Right, velo higiu. But apparently, again, Pinchas had some pretty fast servants, and they did not go ahead and catch up with him. Yashvu ubatku ad shigila sakana. So let's listen to this. So the students in the base medrash decided that if Rabbi Pinchas is not going to do it, we're going to do this. And they decided to do an exhaustive genealogical investigation, right, into the families of Eretz Yisrael. And they began to do that, right, ad sheigiu l'sakana, until they discovered some pretty damaging genealogical information about some pretty powerful families, upirshu. They said, you know what? Let's go back and talk about the bird. Let's go back and talk about shechita by the bird. In other words, so the point over here is, and I'm going to say, this is so fascinating because you begin to see this motif over and over, which is, the reality is, if you do enough investigation about anyone, chances are, you'll probably find something. I would say, it's such a musser. The same way genealogically, if you investigate enough, maybe you'll find a lot of things about a lot of people. You know, it's a good musser. You look into anyone enough, right? You examine anyone enough. So delve into anyone's life enough. You're going to find something that's not great. That's just the nature of people. In any event, but in Eretz Yisrael, they just decided to leave the status quo alone. So Gemara says, Tana, Oda Charis Haisa, Velo Ratzu Chacham Legalosa. Did I skip here? Oh, sorry. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, Heichla b'yadenu. Echala biyadeinu. So we'll say, so this is lashon of a shvuah. I swear by the Beis HaMikdash, right? Echala biyadeinu. Aval ma'asa shari gidole hador nitmu uba. So I will say, ultimately, I swear by the Beis HaMikdash that it is in our hands to go ahead and to reveal the genealogical impurities of the families in Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, again, let's leave it alone, right? Shari gidole hador nitmu uba. Again, better to just leave it alone. So I'll say, even gidole hador, ultimately, again, some of them have families with genealogical impurities, and therefore, better to just leave it alone. So we keep seeing this same phrase over and over. This becomes the guiding light. And I will say, this is the tension. This constant mishpacha shnitma nitma. Sometimes, let it lie. Let it lie. You don't know that there's a problem. Do not make a problem. Amar Abaye. Af anan namitanina. We also learn this. Mishpachas beis hatzrifa haisa be'ever hayarden. There was this mishpachas beis hatzrifa. That was their name. Who lived on the other side of the Jordan. Berichaka ben Sion bezroa. And Ben Sion was like, so was Ben Sion. Ben Sion was, Rashi says, an Adam Chashuv, a very important guy and very powerful guy. So this guy, Ben Sion, would not marry into the Beis Tzrifa family. He distanced them. Obviously, by doing that, what he seemed to indicate was what? That they had some type of genealogical issue. Oda Cheres Haisa, there was another family, the Keva Ben Sion. And Ben Sion brought them close. The irony was, the other family that Ben Sion brought close actually had legitimate genealogical issues. So he distanced the genealogically pure family, brought close the genealogically impure family, but the problem is because Ben Sion did what he did, it cast dispersions on this family, on this Beis Tzrifa family. Kigon Elu Elio Balatame Ilatar, Rachekul Karev. So we'll say these are examples of when Elio Navi comes, he's going to fix these things. In other words, families who are wrongly thought of as genealogically impure, those he will go ahead and rectify. Aval mishpacha shenitma nitma, but a family again that no one knows of any genealogical impurities, even if they did have genealogical impurities, will just let it lie. Shabbos, will say this is now an alternate version, and this alternate version is families who are wrongfully known as genealogically unfit, Eliyahu Navi will restore them to a fit status. But families who have genealogical issues, but no one knows about them, we're probably just going to leave those alone, allow them to disappear into the sands of time. Tana, Oda Cheres Haisa, V'loratzchem L'galosa. Mostly there was another family, ultimately, again, that had genealogical impurities. Chum didn't want to reveal it. So I will say this is interesting. When the Chacham did have issues of genealogy, although they would not reveal it, because they're operating with this concept of Mishpacha Shinitma Nitma, the Chachamim would reveal this to the students. It was important for someone to have some accurate genealogical record. So they would hand it over once every 7 years. Others say twice every 7 years. Right? It seems to be the opinion aligns with one who said once every 7 years. So let's listen to this. What happens if a person says, Reuven says, I hereby declare I will become a Nazir if I don't reveal the genealogical impurities in a certain family. What's the halacha? Yeah, Nazir. Better to become a Nazir, velo yigala mishpachos. Incredible, I will say. So this becomes, again, part of the idea of mishpacha shnitma nitma. We don't look for genealogical issues, but once again, a family kind of becomes cloaked, and no one knows about it, we leave it alone. Amar Rabbi Bar Machan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shem ben Arba Osios, I will say the name of Hashem, which is comprised of four letters, that's Yud, He, and then Vav, and He. Chachamim most knows al Talmidein, Pamachas b'Shavua. Ultimately, and the Chachamim convey knowledge of this name, how to pronounce it, when to use it, ultimately once every 7 years. Others say, twice every 7 years. It makes sense to say that really it's once every 7 years. D'chsev, Ze Shemi Li'olam. So I will say, this is my name forever. But it's written le'it la'aleim ksiv. Le'aleim means to remain hidden. Rava savla midrashay bepirka. Rava wanted to teach about the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately again in Shir. Amar le'ahu saba le'aleim ksiv. It only says le'aleim. Means the name is supposed to be hidden. You don't teach about it in a public setting. Rabbi Avinu Rami ksiv. Zeshmi. Uksiv Zezichri. The pasuk says, this is my name, and it says, this is my remembrance. What does this mean? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo kisha ani nechtav ani nekra. It's not the way my name is written that I am read. Nechtav ani biyud hei. I am written as yud hei, and then vav and hei. V'nikra ba'alif dalid. So remember again, the name is written as yud hei vav hei, but it's pronounced as Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Tanrabanan. Barishona, Shem Ben Shtemesre Osios Haimosun Osa Lechol Adam. What's his name? Remember, there is also a 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say we no longer have this name. We don't have the Masorah for this name. There was a 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the beginning, right, bless you, if whoever wanted it, they would convey it to him. If he wanted to use that name, they would give it to you. Misherabu HaPrisim. But I will say when the priestim, remember, priestim are just people. Priestim could be immoral people. Priestim could just be people. Like a paritz means someone who breaches things. People who don't know limitations. People who don't operate with boundaries. Bisharabu priestim hayumoshim oso litznuim shebekuna. So they would only give it over to the most modest of the kohanim. Listen to this. Vatznuim shebekuna mavlim oso b'ni'imas acheihem akohanim. You will say, this is so beautiful. So what would happen? So you would only have certain very modest kohanim who would go ahead and have this name. And by duchening, as the kohanim were singing, the kohanim who knew the 12-letter name would say the 12-letter name softly as the other kohanim were saying the other name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incredible. So beautiful. Tanya, Am Rabbi Tarfon, Pam Achas Alisi, Achar Achi, Imi Leduchen. Rabbi Tarfon said, one time I followed my uncle up to Duchen. Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen also, obviously. He's following his maternal, but he was a Kohen apparently both on his father's side and on his mother's side. So he said, one time I followed up my maternal uncle to Duchen. Rabbi said, the Duchen is the platform from which they would give the bracha. V'tisi azni etzel Kohen Gadol. And I bent my ear a little bit towards the Kohen Gadol. V'shamati shevliya shem b'ne'imas echav ha'kohanim. And I heard that he said the 12-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the other Kohanim were singing. So beautiful. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shem ben Arbaim Ushtaim Osios. There is another 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incredible. So in motion also, El Mishet Sanua, Va'anav, Va'omin B'chotzi Yamav, Ve'eno Kaweis, Ve'eno Mishtaker, Ve'eno Mamid Amidosav. Okay, so we'll say, who gets the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Listen to this. Only someone who is modest, humble, has reached at least the age, right, of a half, has got at least reached the halfway point of life. I guess that's 60. Doesn't get angry, never drinks too much, and is always willing to yield, right? So Ma'avi Amidosu also means he doesn't bear a grudge, and ultimately when someone wrongs him, he easily forgives, right? He easily forgives, which means no one has this name, right? But again, this incredible. I'll say, just to understand. Whoever ultimately, again, knows this name and is careful with it and keeps in a state of purity, Ahov Lamala is beloved above, V'nechmad Lamata, and ultimately is beloved below, right? V'eimaso mutalas alabrios, people respect him. And he inherits two worlds, this world and the world to come. So Bosai, I just want to point out something dramatically amazing. If you look at this Gemara, Bosai, it's telling you the qualities necessary to achieve the highest level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, the Gemara is phrased as, if you possess these qualities, we give you the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is another way of saying, if you possess these qualities, you will be zocha to have incredible closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi say, what are the qualities? Sanua, modesty. Anav, humility. You have a certain level of life experience. You don't get angry. You don't drink too much. And Rabbi say, you are a person who is mevater. You are a yielding, forgiving person. Rabbi say, isn't this incredible? These are the qualities necessary to reach the highest levels in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Abbas, you know what's overwhelmingly amazing about this? It doesn't talk about how much Torah you learn, and it doesn't talk about how much tzedakah you give. Abbas, these are personalistic qualities. Personalistic qualities, again, a sense of modesty. Abbas, modesty is not just in how you dress. Modesty is how a person conducts themselves. A sense of humility. Life experience. I don't get angry. I don't drink too much. And I'll both say the last one, which is probably the hardest one. The hardest one, I'm a vater. People wrong me, I don't bear a grudge. People wrong me, I move on. Right? I don't always walk around life holding everyone to the always the highest end. I'm a vater. I know how to yield towards the other. If you possess these qualities, then I could. If I possess these qualities, then I could go ahead and receive the 42 letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the recipe. This is the recipe, ultimately, again, for greatness in connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Amr Shmuel Mishmei de Saba. Bava Becheskes Kashros Omedes. Ad shi vada l'chavimah nifsal. Shabbos say, in general, a Jew who comes from Babel has an automatic Cheskes Kashros, unless, of course, you know Babel. Shabbos say, this goes back to what we saw before, that Babel had the highest genealogical rating. So if you came from Babel, you have an automatic assumption of genealogical fitness, unless you know otherwise. Sharas as becheskas pasal hein omdos achi vado chaman nichshara. Interesting. If you come from any other land, you have a presumed genealogical impurity until you go ahead and prove your genealogical intactness. Eretz Yisrael mochsak lifsal. Right, I'm sorry. Eretz Yisrael mochsak lifsal or mochsak lepasal. Pasal, mochsak lekasher, kasher. Eretz Yisrael, it goes after your chazaka. If you have a chazaka that you're a psul, then you're a psul. You have a chazaka that you're kasher, you're kasher. So what's not good for kasher? It doesn't make sense. Amrit mochsak lifsal pasal, hastam kasher. In Eretz Yisrael, it said if you have a chazaka that you're pasal, then you're pasal. Which makes it sound like if you don't have a chazaka that you're pasal, then what? You're kasher. And then it said, v'hadr tani, mochsak lekasher, kasher, hastam apasal. Then it says if you have a chazaka that you're kasher, you're kasher. Which sounds like stam. If you don't have a chazaka, you're pasal. So which one is it? I'm Rav Huna Baratachli from Mishay Dirav. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. I'll say, I'm a beis. Kan mahasil isha, kan lo tzi ishim yad. I'll say, here's what it depends on. It's actually fascinating. In Eretz Yisrael, I'll say, here's the difference. If you're coming to get married, then ultimately, again, you have to have a chazaka. You have to have a chazaka. Ultimately, again, therefore, if you don't have a chazaka, it requires investigation, right? So in Eretz Yisrael, if you're coming to get married, if you have a chazaka that you're pasul, you're pasul. If you have a chazaka that you're kasher. If you don't have a chazaka in Eretz Yisrael, requires investigation. However, if you're already married, then if you don't have a chazaka, pasul, you don't have a chazaka of kasher, you're just stam, then ultimately, again, we let it be. So Rabbi say, really incredible thing. So therefore, Rabbi say, based on this last Gemara, if you come from Babel, you have an assumed cheskas kashrus. You come from all the other lands, an assumed cheskas pasul. You come from Eretz Yisrael, we look at what your chazaka is. Cheskas kashrus, your kasher. Cheskas pasul, your pasul. Stam, what if you have no chazaka? Then it depends. What does it depend on? If you're looking to get married, so then you have to, we need a genealogical investigation. If you're already married, then we leave it alone. We're also listening to this Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Kol shesichasa bavel masiyah lo isha. Whoever speaks like a Babylonian, we allow him to marry, get married. Now, as we're both saying, if apparently Babylonians spoke in a distinct way, so if you speak like a person from Babel, so it's clear you're from Babel, then again, if you're from Babel, Babel means you're genealogically fit, just based on your Babylonian accent, right? That is enough to go ahead and allow you to get married without any investigation. You know what happened. People caught on to this and suddenly started faking Babylonian accents. So now that people are faking Babylonian accents, accent is no longer enough. Ziri, so most of this is a great story. Ziri hava kamishtamit minei Rabbi Yochanan. Ziri was avoiding Rabbi Yochanan. Why? The hava amarle nosiv barti. Bosi, now watch this. Ziri was from Babel. Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael wanted Ziri, his Talmud, to marry his daughter. Ziri didn't want to marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter. Why not? Because he didn't want to marry a girl from Eretz Yisrael. Right? Because again, Eretz Yisrael has a lower genealogical rating than Babel. So therefore, he was avoiding his Rebbe. Okay? So the Gemara says, Yom Echad HaBakazli Barcha. One day, Ziri was actually walking with Rabbi Yochanan. And what happens? Matu Lu'orkima Demaya. They came to a body of water, like a big puddle. So what happened? Arkivei Rabbi Yochanan Kasi. Rabbi says, beautiful. So the Talmud Ziri put his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, on his shoulders so that his Rebbe wouldn't have to walk through the puddle. He carried him over the puddle. The Kama Avrele, Amrele, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Oraisan Ksheira, Bansan Lo Ksheiran. So Ziri, apparently the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is kosher enough for you, right? Because I'm your Rebbe. But our daughters are not kosher enough for you. Came with a little bit of Musa. So my daitech, so I will say, so Ziri, what was the problem? Ilema medisnan, asari yuchsin. So I will say, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Ziri, why are you hesitant to marry my daughter? What is your concern? Ilema medisnan, asari yuchsin alumi babal. So I will say, okay, so maybe you can just quote the Mishnah. What's your problem? Your problem is that ultimately, again, they took the genealogically impure people to Babel. So your concern is that maybe my family, Rabbi Yochanan's family, is not genealogically fit. Here's the problem. The pasuk says that Ezra took the Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Did Ezra take everyone? No, he didn't take everyone. So the Gemara says, the same way that Ezra didn't take all the Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, he also didn't take all the genealogically impure people either. In other words, don't think that Babel is so genealogically pure. The problem is Rabbi Yochanan forgot Ishtamite Hadam Rabbi Lazar Lo Allah Ezra Mi Babel Ad Sha Asa Kisolas Nikiya Ba'Allah. It's not true. I'll say, whereas Ezra did not take all the Karmel Levim, you're right, but Ezra did take all the genealogically impure people. In other words, he made Babel like fine flour. In other words, that in Achinami Babel was genealogically fit. So I'll say, it's also interesting also how, like, so Rabbi Yochanan forgot about this detail. Why? I will say, it's an incredible yusod that. When do we lose objectivity in life? When do we lose objectivity? When it comes to our own family. When it comes to our own family. It's just like the person who tries to tell you that your kid is not doing the right thing. My child, right? So again, when it comes to our own family, often we lose a sense of objectivity. Again, understandably so. Good. All Ula is supposed to say, never again. The Gemara doesn't tell us the end of the story, but for Pashtus, Ziri did not marry Rabbi Yochanan's daughter. So the Gemara goes right there. Ula ikhla Pompadisa. Ula went to Pompadisa. Lebei Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Chazi the Rabbi Yitzchak bei Rabbi Yehuda, the God of Lo Nasa. Listen to this. We'll say. So Ula went to Pompadisa, to the house of Rabbi Yehuda. He saw Rabbi Yehuda had a son, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, the God of Lo Nasa, who was already older and did not marry. So again, Rabbi Yehuda has an older son, Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, Amarle, my time lo kamen sevlei mar. So Amarle, my time lo kamen sevlei mar. Is this a lebrei? So Ula says, Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand. Why have you not married off your son? So this is this. Amarle, mi yedana mehecha. So mi yedana mehecha in siv. So Rabbi Yehuda says, here's the problem. How could I ever know that the girl I married my son off to is genealogically pure? So Rabbi Yehuda felt like a little bit paralyzed in the ability to marry off his son out of a concern that maybe I won't find someone who's really genealogically fit. So I'll say, this is great. So Ula says to Rabbi Yehuda, Amarle, Atu Anan Miyadina Mehecha Kasinan. Tell me, Rabbi Yehuda, how do you know that we are genealogically pure? Right? In other words, how do you know who we come from? Dilma, Mehanach Tichsev Nashim Bitzion Inu, Besulas Bar Yehuda. So I will say, a heartbreaking pasuk in Eicha, talking about, again, when they came to destroy Yerushalayim, they violated the women. Ula says, Rabbi Yehuda, maybe we're the products of those women. In other words, Rabbi say, in general, if a woman is chas v'shalom violated and then becomes pregnant, we still assume that the baby belongs to the child. We'll say, it's the same way we've talked about this before. In general, right? How does anyone know that their father is their father? Right? What do we say? Because even if a woman committed adultery, rov bi'ilos achar abal. Right? The majority of relationship she has with her husband, right? That's the chazak we have. So Ula says, Rabbi Yehuda, how do you know that the altar babas weren't those women, rachman al-islam, who were violated when Eretz Yisrael was destroyed? Maybe that's who we descend from. The Chidema, Ovi Kocham ve'Ever Abba Abbas Yisrael Vlad Kasher. And maybe you'll say, okay, even if so, the offspring of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man is still Kasher. V'Dilma Mehanach Tichsev Behu Hashochvim Amitos Shein Usruchim Alaros Arisosam. So I will say, this is actually an incredible pasuk. So in Amos, the Navi is giving them Musar for their decadent, immoral behavior. And what does the Navi say? The Navi blasts the people who sleep on beds of ivory, usruchim al arisosim, and they defile their beds. What are we talking about? Who are these people? Who are these people to follow their beds? Elu bnei Adam hamashtinim b'mayim b'fnei mitosim arumim. This refers to people who urinate unclothed in front of their beds. The Gemara says, one second. Ata, first white line. So sorry, first second, last short line. Umagati Rabbi Avo. Ihachi, Hainu Dichsiv, Lachin Ata Yiglu Barosha Golem. So therefore the Pasuk says these are the people who will be exiled first. So Rabbi Avo says, I don't understand. You shouldn't have Ashtina Maim Bifnimi Dosem Arumim Yiglu Barosh Golem. The people who urinate in front of their bed, those are the people who are exiled first. In other words, even if you want to say urinating in front of your bed unclothed is a lack of tznius, lack of modesty, those are the people who are going to be first exiled on earth. Not good. I understand, not good. But Lamai said, that's like the cardinal sin. No. Amar Rabbi Avo, this is what it means to say. Avo say, what it means that they defile their beds, they're not defiling. Amar Rabbi Avo, Elo b'nei Adam, she'ochlin v'shosim zem. This refers to people who eat and drink together. U'madbikim mitoseim zubizu. And then they push their couches next to each other. U'machlifin nishoseim zeim zeh. And they trade wives with one another. So we're saying this is the Navi blasting the people for engaging in this type of immoral behavior. And they defile their couches with semen that doesn't belong to them. So again, what's the point over here? The point that Ula is making ultimately against Rabbi Yehuda is the Navi is blasting the people for engaging in immoral behavior. So he's saying, how do you know we don't descend from those people? In other words, I don't know. Maybe that's us. So Ula saying to Rabbi Yehuda, you are on this quest, like for the perfect genealogically fit girl, right? And you're presupposing that you're genealogically fit. But how do you know? At the end of the day, none of us know who it is that we truly descend from. So what should we do? What should I do? Amrlei, Bosse, this is incredible. So Bosse, I just want to point out even before we go on, Bosse, this is an incredible mussar just in general also for the way we conduct ourselves in Shidduchim, right? So there are many issues in the current Shidduch world, but one of them I'll say is, again, we've definitely become elitist in many ways, in the quest of looking for the perfect person. Sometimes I will say, again, in that quest for elitism, in that quest for perfection, it's good to look a little bit inward, right? Before we start postulating, I can't do this one, I'll say, that's elitist, right? The moment you begin to disqualify certain people, certain types, certain places, certain this, that's gaiva, and it's elitism. So before you become such a bal gaiva, such an elitist, look inward, and be careful once you look inward, because again, do enough investigation, and it could be that we descend from some of these other people also. Nothing's more humbling than to know that you're not as perfect as you think you are. So once you know you're not as perfect as you think you are, never chas v'shalom project that sense of elitism. Never chas v'shalom be a balgaiva when it comes to dealing with others as well. Incredible yisod in life in general, certainly in shidduchim. Amar lei hechi noved. So Yehuda says, what should I do? Amar lei, the boss says, incredible. Zil basar shtikusa. The boss says, look for silence. What does this mean? Ki hai debat ki b'nei ma'arava. So we'll listen to this narrative. So they follow. Ki mansu betray b'hadadi. When two people fight with each other, we'll say, chazu hei minayu dekadim v'shasik. See, we'll say, when two people fight, see which one is willing to stop fighting first. Which one is quiet first? Amri, hai miyuchas tfei. And no, that one has greater yichas. So we'll say, wow. Listen to this. Do you want to see how one person, do you want to see yichus? I will say, you know how you can see yichus? Bashtikusa. Who is the person who's willing to either avoid fighting, right? Or when they are in a fight, is the one who de-escalates ultimately again and is willing to make shalom, is willing to be silent. So I will say, that is indicative of yichus. I will say, isn't that incredible? So I will say, so there's two ways to look at this. Number one way to look at this is it could be that when a person has that midah of shalom, the person has that midah of de-escalation, the person has that midah of humility, that they're willing either A, not to fight, or de-escalate, that shows they have yichus. Or I will say, that here's the other possibility. Maybe it has nothing to do with yichus at all. Maybe it has nothing to do with who your parents or who your grandparents or great-grandparents are. Rather, it's talking about your yichus. I will say, you know, yichus isn't always historical yichus. There's also personalistic yichus. The Rebbe said you could tell a lot about a person by how they act in confrontational situations, right? The Rebbe said, you ever see this? People who just go nuts, right? When they're in a confrontational situation, they fight. The gloves come off and they go from 0 to 60, from nice to nasty, and wow. And I will say, that is very telling about a person. Very telling. In general, the Gemara says, stay away from that kind of person. Stay away from that kind of person. That is bad yichos. Either bad familial yichos or just bad personalistic yichos. Stay away from a person who goes from nice to nasty in no time at all. But a person who is able to maintain shalom. A person, even when they get into an argument, is able ultimately again to say, you know what, this is not worth the fight. Or the person who is willing to de-escalate, even while the other person is going at it, the Gemara says, that's yichos. You see someone like that, that's the kind of mishpacha you want to marry into. That's the kind of person you want to be close to. We'll say, what an incredible, incredible yisod. Sometimes the thing that speaks most about who you are as a person is not who you come from, but it's how you conduct yourself in volatile, difficult situations. It is easy to go off the rails. It's easy to go nuts. It's easy to go ballistic. It's easy to go from nice to nasty in no time. And that says a lot about who you are as a person. But if you're able to maintain your composure, even under difficult situations, able to maintain your midos, able to be a piece of shalom, able to de-escalate, ultimately, again, the Ein Yichos Gidolo Mizah. I'll just stop over here for today. We're going to continue with the sugya tomorrow. Shkoyach.